Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you're having an amazing day. I mean it, just enjoying this very moment right here and right now. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we have on Mr. Anthony Trucks, who is a former foster child turned NFL linebacker and competitor on American Ninja Warrior. And he's an author and a shift coach and an entrepreneur and so many other things, including a podcaster. See, he went from foster care to the NFL to successful business owner. And Anthony Trucks has accomplished what statistics would say is impossible. As a speaker and identity shift coach, Anthony teaches people how to access the power of their identity to expand their capacity, tap into their full potential, and make shift happen. And you guys are going to love this episode with Anthony. He really drops hot fire on the mic. He's so smooth and just, you know, humble, but yet hungry. And he also is a happy hustler through and through. And if you guys want to find out more about him, you can check him out on his website, AnthonyTrucks.com, or you could text Anthony.com with the word coaching to get connected through his coaching program. But regardless, I know you're going to get some value. Stick around to the end because he really gets into the heat of the moment towards the end. He drops some serious value bombs. And there's also something to be said about sharing this episode with someone who maybe needs to make some shift happen, maybe needs to take massive action. So share this episode with a friend who needs help and maybe could benefit from Anthony's message, as you do, as I do. We all need to make shift happen in some way, shape, or form. And this is just a really great reminder. So I know you're going to get some value from this one. After a quick episode sponsor break, we will be diving into this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. Let me ask you a quick question. How often do you wake up in the morning and instantly wish that you just had another hour of sleep? You know, you hit the snooze button maybe, and you just hope that next time your alarm goes off and you feel more energized. Listen, we all have those mornings. And the worst part is trying to turn your brain on to keep up with the demands of the day, especially when you happy hustle that life you love. You know, maybe you didn't get enough sleep, or you have brain fog, or your energy is low, and you just can't seem to concentrate. That's why I take Newtopia on those days. And Newtopia is actually the most advanced brain support and cognitive enhancement system that I've ever tried. See, they specialize in personalized brain supplements, also known as nootropics. And if you've never heard of nootropics or brain supplements, don't worry. They've been around for a long time and they're safe, they're legal. They're used by millions of top performers around the world to enhance mental performance. It's actually quite natural, non-addictive, and safe, so you can really feel good about what you're putting in your body. And you can choose blends that don't even have caffeine if you're caffeine sensitive. And unlike other products, there's no crashes, no jitters, or no after effects. You just simply turn on your brain within 10 minutes of waking up every morning, and the effects consistently throughout the day just help you optimize your performance and your productivity. Now, you guys get the hookup for watching and listening to the Happy Hustle Podcast. You can go to Newtopia.com/happy hustle to save over 10% on their amazing brain optimizing supplements, their nootropics. Again, you can go to Newtopia, that's Nootopia.com/happy hustle. Check it out, save yourself some moolah. And the best part is it comes with a money back guarantee. So you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Check it out again, guys. Nootopia.com/happy hustle. Now let's get back to this episode. Mm-hmm. right, Anthony Trucks, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast, my man. I am super stoked to connect.
I'm happy to be here too, man, on the Happy Hustle. Happy on the Happy Hustle. There you go. It all works.
It does work, man. I mean, you got a very inspiring story, Anthony. You went from a former foster child to an NFL linebacker. You're a competitor on American Ninja Warrior. You're an author, a shift coach, and an entrepreneur, and so many other things. But I'm curious, Anthony, what's something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
Not too many people know. I think one is I'm the first former NFL athlete to hit a buzzer on American Ninja Warrior. Did on like season 9. So that's a good unique.
Yeah, that's awesome. How big are you?
I'm 6'1 and a half, 230. I'm not a humongous man. Big. I'm not a defensive lineman, but like those guys at rock climb, those guys are up there. They're like, seriously, like 5'6", 5'8". They're all like 150. And so me, I'm like 230. It's vast different. Like the machines, the things, they creak when I swing on them.
Yeah, that's true, man. I'm a fan of that show. That show is legit. You got to really, you know, train and have discipline and then be able to perform under pressure. And I think, you know, it's a great metaphor for life, right? You got to train, have discipline, and perform under pressure.
I've learned some good lessons from it. It is. And you get one shot a lot of it. Like most people don't realize you don't get a chance to try it before you do it. They show it to you one time and then you sit back until like 3-4 o'clock in the morning and they throw you up and say your turn. And it's literally just all those bright lights. You're half asleep. You get a little bit of a crowd out there. It's the cold water. And it's just like, all right. And there's silence. There's no music and you're just going through, man. And so, yeah, it's definitely a different thing that if you're and it's so precise, like where, yes, there's a need for you to be physically skilled to hang, to swing, but if like you like miss a grip, you're done. Like you got to be precise.
Yep. Yeah, man. That's so true. Well, super cool to get that insights. And I'm curious, you know, you talk a lot about making shift happen and I like to dive right in. We'll get to your backstory throughout, but I'm curious, you know, for all the happy hustlers out there listening, like talk to us about this identity shift and why it's important to make shift happen.
Yeah. Well, the definition of make shift happen, I created it. It's not like it's in Webster's just yet, but it's making the necessary shifts to accomplish something so great you are overwhelmed with positive emotion. And it's that moment where you look and you go, damn, that was cool. Like, you know, I made the sale. I got the girl. I'm married now. Look at my kid. I got a kid. Like, whatever it may be, it's that moment. And I don't believe those moments happen on accident. Mm. A lot of the things that we have happen that are great things, like they usually happen because of who we are, right? How we show up. And it's really just almost sometimes unconscious. I believe your identity is who you are when you aren't thinking about who you are, right? So how you naturally flow, how you perceive things, judge things, do things, whatever it might be, your habits, your actions, your mindsets, all flowing. And what happens is we, you know, have a life that's built of these little actions. And so unfortunately, a lot of us, this identity was just built haphazardly. It's just what no one thought about it. We just started living our life and we learned from teachers and preachers and coaches and leaders and all these different people. And then I started living our life from that. And I realized that if it was programmed at one point that I could program it myself. I can learn to shift into the identity that operates in a way to make the necessary shifts so I can create and do really cool things in life. So for me, it's incredibly important because while we may get a bunch of information, have a bunch of tools, it doesn't matter what info you have or tools you have if you aren't the person to wield those properly.
Mm. Yeah, well said. And talk to us a little bit about the shifts that you made in your life. Specifically, I want to hear, you know, how'd you go from this foster child living, you know, this tough upbringing truly, and then make it to the NFL, which I think what 0.1% people ever do, or probably even less, right? Talk to us about that transition.
It's a long one, man. It's a story. It's, you know, like any other story. I grew up as, you know, in craziness and I battled and went through a lot of ups and downs and, you know, family issues. It naturally happens. But to be honest, all of it boils down to that. I fell in love with doing hard work. That's really what I think. I have another book idea that I want to call Dark Work. I just want to call it Dark Work because I have this mentality.
That's good.
That has to do with like when I was 15 years old and I wasn't a good football player. I was actually pretty trash. And then all of a sudden, I came back one year after doing all this work in the dark. No one saw me. It was just me doing my stuff and grinding. And I came back a monster, man. It was like, you couldn't beat me. I wouldn't let you. And I had this mentality of, I've done too much work in the dark for you to take what is mine in the light. And and that mentality of the work I did that you didn't see that earned this, that made me feel like I deserved it, I wasn't about to settle for less than what I believed I deserved. And that carried into all aspects. So when I was, you know, from a freshman of being horrible to a sophomore, getting moved to varsity, you know, college scholarship, starting as a true sophomore, I didn't take a year off when I went to college. Wow. I beat a guy out who's a fifth senior, you know, going to the NFL, coming home, opening businesses and doing things. And so I've had times where I haven't been the best at doing the dark work and my life didn't shine very bright, you know. But anytime I have showed up and had something amazing, I've made shift happen, it was because I did dark work, which is essentially that stuff that pulls from a darker place where, like, maybe you're angry at yourself, or you have guilt, you have shame, as opposed to shutting down because of it, use it as a fuel. Or it's just the stuff where, you know what, I feel confidence and pride in doing the things that allow me to look at myself and feel great, regardless of what anybody else thinks. It's just me in my private area doing my thing. It's like, I have a home gym. I've always owned a gym and went to a gym. And then recently when the pandemic hit, I got to build my first home gym. And I was like, I love it. I like being able to go into my garage in my cave and get down and do work. And then I show up in the rest of the world. People are like, oh, look at you. Look at getting some muscles. Yes, I am. Right. I don't need to be at the box gym with everybody watching me. I've never enjoyed that. I've always enjoyed the let me go behind the scenes and become like a superhero on my own and then go out into the world and do what I do.
Dark work, man. I like that. That's a lot of where the magic happens too, you know, and that's where you build that self-confidence and that identity that truly gives you the courage to face life's adversities head on and then overcome them, because, you know, adversity will strike and we will be tested, all of us, in some way, shape, or form. And I'm curious to get a little deeper with the dark work. Like, if someone's out there listening, what's the mindset when you're about to embark on that dark work or the discipline required?
We're going to go down this rabbit hole, aren't we? This is honestly the first conversation I ever had about it, this concept from my brain, at least. So you're
cool.
Here we go, man. It'll be the inaugural conversation of what could be something cool. I have found that the moment that you're in that space before it, you're in a dark place. Like it's a space where you don't want to do anything. You have something you desire. Like I want to fix the marriage, or your business is not doing well. I want to fix that. I'm not feeling like I'm in great shape. No matter what it might be, I don't feel like I'm successful in my career. And you have this feeling that's like a dark, heavy one. And most people respond to that by sitting back and distracting themselves with things that don't serve their future, right? I'll do the Netflix, I'll do the drugs, I'll do the girls, I'll do the drinking, you know, I'll do the guys, whatever. Like you do those things, and then it's just all, it separates you from the action to move forward. I love this statement, it's simple: action ends suffering. But most people will continue to suffer due to inaction, whether it's a feeling of guilt because they didn't get something done when they should have or promised they would, or shame because they did something awkward and awful. And so it's heavy. And the truth is as long as you stay in that place and don't take an action, do work, like, you're going to stay in that place. And so I think the precursor, typically, it's not this like joy and super motivation, right? It's usually like a heavier emotion. And then you do have the ones, the moments where you have the athletes that are like, you know, they want to come. Michael Jordan's a good example of the Last Dance. He was good at channeling that dark energy of like, I gotta beat you. It's my personal pride. I am not about to let you take this from me. Kobe Bryant, same thing. And the reality is those individuals had that dark energy they channeled to positive places. And I believe, looking at their, any high-level athlete, any high-level soldier, any high-level executive, they'll all tell you about the things, the habits, the stuff they do, if you really pick their brain, that they're doing that no one even knows they were doing. Like, you know, the Kobe Bryant's every morning getting, like, he has a whole, if you watch the Muse, talks about, he used to get up in the morning at like 4 or 5 in the morning, go in, get a workout, come back, eat breakfast, take a shower, hang with the family, then go back out. So when you were getting one workout, it started at like 10 or 11, that's his second. So you accumulate that over a year, he's got 2 years to year one. And not even that, like, yeah, he was there at practice, but he was doing work. Like the amount of output he was putting out, the reps he was taking. So you can't catch up to him. There's no way. And so that, like you said, that leads to more than just the skill set. it leads to, we have what's called investment bias as humans. And it's really this bias that if I make an investment somewhere, I deserve a return, right? If I invest in you to help me grow my money for something, I expect a return, man. If I invest and give, I don't know, I'm spending some money on a new bicycle, I want the bicycle, right? In our world, that dark work is an investment. It's the repetitions on practicing a skill set of shooting the hoops, right? It's the repetition of reading the book, getting the workout, and so how it shows up, or even if it's studying the sales book to get better at sales. When I show up to the world now, I have this sense of bias that I deserve the outcome, which means I will show up in ways beyond what typically feels comfortable, what I've done before. I've done the work. I have that competence that gives me confidence, but also I'm doing the work, right? Because God forbid I did all that for nothing. And I get the return of confidence, self-esteem, pride, power. I push out and lo and behold, I'm successful. It's not an accident, man. People just did the dark work.
Yeah. Ooh, I love it, man. Competence gives you confidence. And, you know, you mentioned something in terms of like the delayed gratification that comes with doing the dark work. And I think now more than ever, we live in a society that people are really caught up in the instant gratification. Everyone gets a trophy, these dopamine dumps from give me likes and views and comments, like when you post something. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, you got to be okay with the delayed gratification. You know, you have to be okay with, you know, just doing the work in the dark and then so you can shine in the light. And, you know, right now I want to kind of transition to how you're shining right now, Anthony, because you are shining bright. What is Anthony's life look like right now? What are you focused on? And specifically, you know, what's like something that really is exciting you about the next 12 months?
Next 12 months, man. It's interesting. Like life always excites me. I think that, so the delayed gratification, it's interesting. There's delayed gratification for me for end results, right? But I have instant gratification from like every day. Like I feel good that I got my workout. I haven't in the last seven weeks, I haven't missed a Monday through Friday workout. I have not missed one. Mm. I got a guy that writes them and they're not easy and I get through them. A lot of days where I'm like, I don't want to do this right now. Like I just, you know, but I do it. And there's like that. And that's not a, I'm not looking at, I'm only going to be happy once I've got my abs and I, you know, my body's back where it used to be. I enjoy the fact that I got gratification from completing my day. I tell people you have to fall in love with the day, be addicted to the day, not just the destination. And so for me, a piece of it is that's what I'm excited about is living my life every single day because I've designed it in a way to where I'm addicted to the day. Like I love getting up and eating my oatmeal and then having conversations with the team and meeting people like yourself. And I get to go hang out with my kids afterwards. Like that's a big piece. And what's also really important is kids. I'm in season of dad, which is I'm trying my absolute best not to do stuff on the weekends. I turn things down. I leave it open for the kids, man. Then after about 2:30, I'm shutting the work down. Like I'm at home with the kids. I might do, you know, open that laptop for emails or something at night, but very rarely. It's not very often, but I'm dad now. You know, I come home. So that's important to me. So a year from now, it's my kids got, you know, their academics dialed. The business is running smooth. My marriage is still good. Like that's the stuff that excites me because I at one point learned to set my own scale. I think that whenever I have moments where I look at the rest of the world, most people look at the rest of the world, you create this comparison problem where you start feeling less than because your scale is set to the world scale. And for me, I just set my own scale and I live to that scale. And it's a good scale. I accomplished some cool things. Could I accomplish more? Yeah. But then at what cost? What do I sacrifice? So I'm excited about the fact that I have a scale that I've set that I enjoy and I get to live into every day.
Well said. And I think it's just defining your version of success, right? A lot of people chase other people's version of success, you know, and what society deems important, the materialistic objects and, you know, status and significance. And largely in part, I was caught up in that mindset early on in my entrepreneurial journey where I eventually succumbed to burnout because all I wanted was profit, success, ego, title, all the things, you know. And I think, you know, that's like the sad part is, once you get those things, you realize that's not really that fulfilling. You know, it's the stuff you mentioned, your kids, your family, doing things, work that matters, like feeling good about yourself, you know, in the mirror, like having integrity, doing things the right way. And I mean, I just think it's really cool to hear someone like you who, you know, has accomplished so much, still hungry, still humble, but also, you know, you're just enjoying the journey. And I think one thing that I'm a big proponent of is enjoying the journey, not just the destination. You know, that's why I say you got to put the happy in your everyday hustle, you know. And you have a really cool term, and I want to dive into it. It's called hustle harmony. Talk to us a little bit about hustle harmony.
So it ties the same thing as like, I do like to work, man. I'm happy, but I'm not content. And it doesn't diminish anything that I have, right? It's not saying that I got this. I'm not always looking up, right? Some people look up and forget and lose sight of what they have, you know, that's down below that they've already accomplished. And so I don't have that. I get to look flat and see all of it. I get to see what I've accomplished and also what I can accomplish. And I live in peace and enjoy pursuing and living, right? But hustle harmony is this thing that was piggybacked off this, the same monster you're talking about, that hustle monster that essentially was always dialed into work, right? I got to get the money and do this thing. And then, you know, you look at this world that got really small, man. It used to be just you and your network of your neighbors and who's, you know, maybe on the television. Now it's everybody everywhere and all the stuff they have. And half the people that have the stuff aren't even happy inside, but they have the stuff, you know? And I just heard Naomi Judd like committed suicide. Like, it's crazy. Someone with so much, you know, success and notoriety, like, wasn't happy. It's clear that this is not the right place to be moving for a lot of people, but they fight towards it. And so for me, what I realized with hustle harmony is people seek like work-life balance and this balance thing. And here's the interesting thing. Logic will tell you it can't work like that. Let's take into account what work-life balance would look like based on the definition of the words. It looks like balance between the two areas. So most people work an 8-hour day. Can you imagine coming home and spending every 8 hours with your wife every single day? I love my wife. I love her to death. 8 hours, you probably want to tear each other's heads off, you know? 8 hours with the kids, 8 hours working out. You can't spend 8 hours working out. You're not going to have balance across all of them. But I believe there is this aspect where there's going to be harmony. And harmony, you can really tie it to like music. If you give every part of your life that matters an instrument, right? There's the guitar, the, you know, business, there's the, you know, piano of the relationship, there's, you know, the violin of maybe your parenting, whatever you want to call it, there's different things, you know, and the health could be the bass line in the background, who knows? But what you do is you think about these different things or different instruments in a song, they don't all go at the same time. There's different notes and different chords and different melodies, different tempos to each instrument that creates the harmony. And so for a lot of people, they haven't realized that you should at some points in time be, maybe if family is the drum line, maybe you should have a heavy drum line in holidays. But when New Year's hits, maybe, you know, it's back to work, and then maybe the guitar picks up a little bit. The drum doesn't disappear, but it's not as prominent as it is during Christmas time, you know? And that's okay. It's just because if you think about a song, songs change within the intro, the beat drops, like that's how music is made. And so I look at like harmony is like, I'm hustling my marriage, hustling in my health, hustling my fitness, but there's harmony because they take up different tempos and different rhythms throughout the time.
Well said again, man, the hustle harmony. And I like the analogy of the song, because I do think you have to focus on each of these different instruments, each of these different areas at different times. And I actually have a framework, it's called the 10 alignments of being a happy hustler. Many of the listeners are familiar, but it makes up this acronym, soul mapping, your soul's map to the blissfully balanced promised land. And one of the biggest happy hustling principles that I discuss is you must give each of these different alignments, each of these different areas, equal importance, but you focus on one at a time, right? So when I'm, you know, rocking the mic with Anthony, I'm 100% here. Right. When I'm on my date night with my fiance, I'm 100% there. When I'm fly fishing solo, you know, I'm 100% there, you know? So it's like, you have to give these different areas your full focus. And I think a lot of people have an issue, attempting to multitask, and then you do these different things half-ass, right? What's your take on just achieving balance in whatever regard that you do, you know, deem it? What's your take on achieving that blissful balance?
I don't know, man. I call it harmony. I call it the hustle harmony, man. I think you achieve it by
yeah.
I'm gonna go back to my word. I like your word, but I like mine better, right? Yeah. It's a we'll play in your pocket. We'll call it blissful balance, right? I think essentially what it ends up being is realizing that every single puzzle is your own puzzle to solve. So it's not always, you know, prudent to go and seek somebody else's life and go, what's their life look like, and do everything they do, because they have different things. There's a different strength of their relationship. The journey they're on there could be different. It's a different health journey in focus. There's different, they have kids, some don't have kids. Like, so you can't just borrow and take all the things that I'm going to do everything they do. Cause then you end up living a life that feels out of alignment, feels awkward. And then you feel like you're wasting time. Right. So I think it boils down to setting your own scale, man. That means going back home and going, what is important to me? If I was to sit in a quiet private room and I feel this is great and say, this is what I want to accomplish. Then when I take it out to the world, be unbothered with how the world responds to it. This is what I'm going to do, guys. Like, this is how my life's going to look. This is what I want to create. And then you can start from there, setting up a structure to where whatever your idea is turns into a calendar. I know it goes to this point where my son is dealing with this right now. He's about to go off to college and he is not prepared. And that's my fault, man. Cause I realized we nag. Why didn't you do this? Why don't you want to do this? Why, you know, you said you want to do track. Why aren't you just putting the time in? If you desire it, you'll do it. And I think the problem is most humans don't have a rooted, deep, guttural desire. They do for, you know, a day, 2 days. And all of a sudden the emotion dissipates because they go to sleep and wake back up and then it's gone. And that's been the plan, right? That's how people operate and they function. Their plan is emotion. And even if you say, this is what I want to do, we have this great, you know, balance and structure I want to create. If it's simply based on how I feel, it will fall apart. However, if I sit and go, I want to get in great shape. Cool. What's it going to take to get in shape? 45 minutes a day of working out, 15 taking a shower. Cool. Let's put an hour in there. It's got to be in your calendar. If you want to, I want my marriage to be strong. Cool. What does that look like? It means date nights. It means, you know, having conversations. It means, you know, going on trips. Cool. Put that in there. I want to get a raise at work. What does that mean? I got to perform better, take a project on, lead a team. Cool. What does that look like? Like in real time, what would your day look like? And then put it in there. And when you can find the way to create that structure that gives you the chance to, in my opinion, do what we do best as humans, we do best working. We're happiest at motion, right? If you think about it, when you're making a puzzle, you like putting the puzzle together. The moment the puzzle's done, it's like, okay. All right. Now what do I do? You know, like, I want to put together the puzzle. That's the process. Yep. We are happiest in motion. And I think what happens is we don't have a plan in place. The motion we are taking, we question. Is it the right thing? Should I be doing something else? I don't know, right? But if I do have a plan that I have trust in, I'm reliable, I have a reliability to it, I get to get into that flow state, man. I get to wake up, look at it and go, that's my day. I got faith in it. I know it's going to lead where I want to go. Let's go to work. And I can just settle in. And then I get to love my days.
Yep.
And then you find that you start feeling more peace because things are getting done. They're in the calendar. And obviously you gauge what you can and can't do. Some people can't work straight 8 hours. They just can't. Some people can't buckle down and work mentally for 8 hours. You might get two, and that's okay. You build the muscle of focus, right? But you build into it to where you feel good and you understand how to like gauge yourself, measure yourself. And little by little, you'll start finding out that the things you had to schedule now become your new normalcy. Because before we got into that, we had a normalcy. We had a habitual flow. We're really just resetting that. That gets us into our desired frame of hustle harmony or blissful, you know, balance. And then now you start doing it. And as humans, we like to be, our brain's a predictive tool. It wants to know what's coming. And so prepares for that. That's why if you warm up the same warm up before a workout every time, the body gets warm. It drops synovial fluid. Like your brain before certain movements and things, it'll turn back on. It knows what's still going on. And so if you start doing the same thing in the same rhythm, your brain starts being efficient. You start, you know, the things you were learning to do, it learns to do them faster. You can do them easier. You can get more outcome without having to put so much energy into it. And now it's a combination of, I'm not giving as much energy. I'm making more progress. I'm getting what I want out of life, having success, feeling different and better inside. And then now you have that blissful balance, that you know, hustle harmony, because I'm doing things, but man, the effort is effortless. And you're at more peace.
Yeah. Well said, man. I mean, here's the thing. You first have to understand the goal right? Like, I think a lot of people are going through life, they're just reading their own story. They're not writing it, you know? And I think when you get crystal clear on what's the actual goal, like what's the shift that you want to make happen, right? Where do you want to be? Then you reverse engineer that process, right? And then you can step-by-step build it into your calendar, into micro goals. And I love that you brought up a calendar, because I think, you know, for a while, I actually didn't use a calendar. Like for the first, maybe, you know, I don't know, throughout my college years, I definitely didn't use a calendar. You know what I mean? I was less like playing sports, doing my thing, chasing women, you know, all the things, right? But then when I got out and serious about this entrepreneur thing, I was like, I need a calendar, you know? And I think that's really important that you have that structure. As, you know, Jocko Willink says, discipline equals freedom. When you have that discipline in your schedule, you achieve that freedom. You have those pockets where, hey, you can kick back. If you want to meditate for an hour, go ahead. No one needs you, because you created that freedom with your discipline. And it's just a really important point. One other thing you said that I want to just extract and echo is you mentioned, you know, basically comparing and despairing to others. And I think that's what holds a lot of us back from making the shifts. Oh, this person's already doing coaching. This person's already, you know, in this entrepreneurial space, or I'm not able to do a podcast. Carrie and Anthony already have a podcast. You know, they talk about similar things. It's like, but when you can just be unapologetically yourself and authentically true to your message and your mission, then people find your voice and people resonate with it. And it's just really important to not compare and despair. So I just wanted to mention that, because I think it's a really important, valuable point. Now, I do want to mention, I mean, if you have something to add to it, you can, but I do want to get into your coaching, because you actually do this for people at the highest level, shift coaching. And I'm sure a lot of the happy hustlers are out there listening saying, dang, I need to work with Anthony, or at least get to know him a little better. Where can people go to, you know, find out more about you, and also talk to us a little bit about your program?
Yeah, well, you go to social media, man. It's Anthony Trucks, pretty much anywhere you can find me. And I do, man, to your point of that aspect, they're like, you have to have something where you set, like, you have to have a goal. I mean, if you don't have that, then it's tough to float around. And some people don't have one, and it's fine. Be curious. If you have no goal, man, find something you're curious about and go seek and figure out what's going on there. Regarding the coaching, man, it's this thing mm-hmm. where, so everything I'm talking about, it can't be a pipe dream and a thought and idea. Like, I'm a very structural human, right? And there is, within discipline, there's freedom. And it's mostly because you don't have to hold everything in your head and wonder when it's going to get done. That's the greatest, I guess, draw, in my opinion, of most people's ability to be productive, is even if they do structure out a time to work on something, because the rest of their tasks are still floating in their head when they're working on this one, and they don't even know how far along they are with this one, there's anxiety. It's like, I don't know when this is going to get done, but I got to get this done by this time. And then, but then what about that thing and that thing and that thing? And I didn't get anything done just now on this thing. And holy crap, cycle. And so one of the things that I do is I realize that people want to get things. They want to accomplish things. They want to get some you know, achievements made, period. And so part of what I do is heavily based, and let's take that out of your head, structure it to where you can wake up and not even think about what has to be done. You already did that. And just go. Just go for the day. And then when it's time to shut down, shut down. And then what happens is the freedom you're talking about, it's like, all right, I'm done every day at 1 o'clock with work. I start my workout at 1 o'clock, go 1 to 2:30, get my kids, and I'm dead. So I pretty much from 6 to 1 o'clock, I'm going. Now that 6 to 1 o'clock window is structured. It's planned. The hours, the half hours, I know what I'm doing, where it's supposed to be done. And I've done that thinking so far in advance that I don't have to think right now. I get to just go do my thing. And then I get to release and not even think about the other things that have to be done. So when I'm working, I'm focused. When I'm not working, I'm dialed, right? So I'm like, I get in a spot where it's like, I'm just not even in stress. And so when I coach people, that is what I'm trying to get them to the moment where I make shift happen. I wake up one day and go, I made the necessary shifts to make this thing happen. I've created and accomplished something so great. It is overwhelming how cool it is. And I don't feel stressed, because even if you accomplish that thing, if you did it the wrong way, it'll be lackluster. It'll be short-lived. You'll burn a bridge somewhere. Like, it sucks. You do it the right way, though, it's all beautiful, man. It's all cheddar, we call it, right? So the goal is, how do you have that? But then the flip side, the area that other people don't really think about, is, who am I becoming while I go on this path? That's where I've noticed that people will accomplish something and go, I got this thing, but at what cost? Think about Thanos. You know, Thanos in the Endgame, he had to go and snap his finger, but like he got all of it. And then at the end of the question, it says, was it worth it? Or so he said, what'd you have to give? And he said, everything. Like, and part of that, like, I don't know if we get to those points and it's worth it. Like, I think that we've done the thing to get the thing, but then along the journey, we sacrificed more than we really wanted to in the path. So like the relationship's falling apart. My body's out of shape. My back hurts. You know, I don't have a business partner anymore because I was just hard pushing for this thing. So my thing is, before we even get into that, I also weave in the reality that while you're working towards a goal, you're also becoming somebody. Every single day we're doing things that if you do them long enough, you become what you consistently do. And so if you take into account what you're doing and who you're becoming while you do it, you get to the back end and you accomplish that thing. You've had an amazing journey to get there and you really love the person you are. At that moment, you have shifted not just the core of what you've accomplished, but you've shifted who you are, your identity. So my work always, when I come to coaching, it boils down to, I want to get you to accomplish something that's damn cool, but I also want you to love the person you are when you get there. And that's something we build together.
Ooh, love that. Now, who exactly is it for? Like, who's your perfect target avatar? Maybe they're out there listening. Just kind of define who you really love to serve. I mean, because I'm sure you can serve just about anybody, but who do you really love to serve and who do you see gets the best results with your coaching?
Am I back yet? There we go. I'm back. So everyone's going to be a little freeze. Yeah. So the perfect person for me that we found is like 35 to like 50. When you get to like the age of 35, you've gone through some life, man. You know, you've gone through the college days, the hard running. Yeah. You've done the first job, maybe even the second job. You got to this point of going, man, I've read the books and done the stuff, and I'm still struggling. I've maybe made some accomplishments, but I'm not happy with them. I really want to get to that place of peace. I found that, like in my life, when I'm around my friends and they go, "Hey, what's new, man?" A lot of the time, it's like nothing, and it's a good thing now. When you're 20 years old, you want it all to be like, oh, I went here, I did this, and I did this. And you know, when you're 20s and then your early 30s like that, then after a while you go, man, the people who are doing that, bro, you're chaos. Can you get away from me? Like, I don't need you to be running and gunning anymore. You know, like, bro, settle down. Like, we're older now. Get into a groove at some point. And so that's where I find that when I get to that level, like 35 plus, people are at that stage where they understand the value of peace, the power of peace while moving towards a pursuance of a goal, right? And then when you get to that point on like 50 plus, people are less apt to make big adjustments, big shifts to who they are. I'm this guy. I've been a whole life as who I'm going to be. And so I've found that that's a sweet spot for us, 35 to 50. And typically it's a person who's ambitious in some way that's usually tied to their profession, right? So it could be executives I work with, like, you know, Amazons and different companies. And those people, like, you know, they're high level trying to get things done, and the work I do can help them and their whole teams. Primarily, it's a lot of like entrepreneurs, you know, we'll call them knowledgepreneurs. It's coaches, it's speakers, it's consultants. You know, I'm not getting the people who are doing Forex and flipping houses all day long. It's not really my realm. Those cats like to run and gun. That's your thing. But I do well with people that look at my life and go, I'd like to live a life like that guy. Like, they see me, I take care of my body and I work out and I have kids that I'm proud of. I have a wife that I'm proud of. I have a marriage that I celebrate, right? I have a home that's not a mansion. I'm not driving a Ferrari. I'm not shopping for Louis Vuitton bags each day. I don't care about that. I want to have peace in my life. And those are the people that I track. Those who are seeking a level of separate from society, which is the run and gun towards all the flash and pizzazz, or the rigmarole of being on the hamster wheel. There's a sweet spot in between where you can just be a calm, good neighbor that people are like, I like that guy. I don't know what he does in his house all day. He's always home, but I like that guy. You know, like those are the people I usually work with.
Got it, man. I have a saying, pay for peace, you know, where like I'll pay extra for peace. And I think like it's typically males, just we crave truly two things, peace and intimacy, you know, like you give them a male, those two things, they're going to be pretty happy, you know, and it's just, it's something more and more as I'm going through my 30s, you know, early 30s now, like I appreciate 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. bedtimes, man. That just gets me, you know, lit. I'm like, oh baby, I'm gonna be reading tonight. I got my blue blockers, my magnesium. I'm like, bedtime, I'm getting up early. You know, like back in the day, we weren't even going out till 9. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's different seasons of life, different chapters, and you grow and evolve. And, you know, I highly recommend anyone out there, you know, who's interested in working with Anthony, you hear the guy. I mean, he's legit. And it's just something, we all need coaches. So you guys can actually text Anthony. You go to textanthony.com, the word coaching. Is that right, Anthony? Yeah. And then you guys can kind of learn more about him and his program. And yeah, we just all need coaches and support and mentors. So yeah, appreciate you, man. That's awesome. Now I do want to transition and ask you a couple Happy Hustle hack questions. These are, you know, basically a tip, a tool, a tactic, something that you do in these different disciplines that you can share with the happy hustlers out there. First being health. What's something that we could deem a happy hustle hack? I'm sure you do a ton, but what's something maybe a little unique like that Anthony does that you could share?
I find the brain will find what it goes looking for. And so moments arise in our life that we don't want to be part of, we don't enjoy, or we don't want to do. And for most people, like my kids, when that thing happens, all they do is stew about the bad. Like we just think about all that could go wrong. This, I don't want to do this. And we stay in that place. And I realized that I didn't like the energy of that. And I still don't. And so when things like that arise, I tell myself consciously to seek something positive within this, like genuinely do. So if it's something where like, I got to go, I don't know, clean up a mess. I don't want to clean up, you know, outside the dog did something like, damn it, dog, you know, I go, okay, what can I do to make this good? And I go, you know what? There's some music I've been wanting to listen to. Headphones pop in, put the song or the, you know, the album on. I listen to the album while cleaning up whatever the dog did, you know, patching holes in the fence and stuff. So there's like little things where it's like a little hack that I realize the brain will find what I set it to go seek out, like a hound dog. So I don't have the brain go seek the problem. I have it go seek some opportunity to have some fun.
Love that, man. That's a great, that positive psychology just, you know, and I think we can look at life from this optimistic lens or this pessimistic lens, and we all have a choice at any given moment. So that's great. Let's talk about money. I think money is an important topic. You know, it's a frequency, it's a tool, right? What is a happy hustle hack in regards to money? Maybe something you do to save, invest, or spend wisely that you could share with the happy hustlers?
Man, I don't have any vices, which is good. I'm not addicted to anything. So I think that's a good, helpful thing. I don't have any, like, I got to buy a bunch of Hot Wheels cars. Like, I don't have anything. I don't need a bunch of special clothes. You know, there's that one thought that I think has helped me with the financial portion. It's Robert Kiyosaki's, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Is those who have money don't look like it, those who don't do. You know, like they buy the things they don't need to have that make it look at my Louis Vuitton belt. Bro, I'm wearing sweats down below here. And I think I got them off of like Groupon.
Yeah, you know,
like
I don't. Me too.
Dude, I don't even. And so for me, I realized years ago, I was like, because I was a kid that wanted to get rims in a car and get a stereo system. And I go, when I'm driving my car, I don't even get to see my car. Why do I care what rims are in the car right now? Like it's, and they're uncomfortable to drive and they keep messing my alignment up for what? So somebody else can see. So I think my peaceful thing for me was like, I don't have any vices. I'm not addicted to anything specifically. At the same time, I do not care really what anybody looks like. I don't even wash my truck as much as I should. I don't care what people see me and judge me as because I have peace in my household and in my heart and in my work I do. So that allows me to not have to find ways to have money bring me joy. So if I find ways to have money not bring me joy, then the money I have allows me to live well below my means. Like I have nothing that's like, I don't have any debt. I can buy everything that I have cash out if I want. And a lot of stuff I do. And so it gives me a point where because of the work I do, if I was doing this under the stress of financial, I would not be able to do this at the right level or in the right way. Right. If I was a guy who was burning through money and spending a bunch, I'd be trying to seek money all day, not seek service. And so because like I'm smart with the money I get and I'm smart with how I invest it and what we do with it, we're not thinking about that all day long. It's weird having grown up in a way that wasn't the norm for my life, right? It was always a thing where growing up, like you gotta have, you know, you gotta get this money. And then after that, you realize, oh crap, if I have enough money, I get to focus on things that serve my heart more. It reframed how I got to experience my life.
Yeah. Ooh, Powerful, man. That, and then money doesn't control you when you live with that mindset. You know, it's just, again, it's a tool. And I think I'm debt free. And I think that's one of the best things. Like when you have debt looming over you, it's just, it's suffocating, you know? So yeah, I do think it's,
it really is.
So,
you feel, yeah, you feel there's a lot of guilt.
It's a really great way to live. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about spirituality just in terms of, you know, maybe a happy hustle hack around connecting with a higher power. You know, I'm very deeply spiritual, not religious. I believe in a higher power and I pray every day and, you know, practice gratitude. But I'm curious if you have a spiritual practice or a happy hustle hack in this arena you can share.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch. Read the Bible. It's a big thing. Go to church, pray, have people in your life that also have the same beliefs. I think a lot of what I've noticed about, like, we'll call it the faith aspect, is simply, how I explain it? It's bowing down to the higher power, right? It's being humble and being of service in a sense of you are not the final outcome. You are not the right or wrong. You don't get to determine that. I think some people that live their life in a way go, I am a God. Well, then you think that your choices are the right choices. And realistically, they're typically not, right? If that's the case, then you'll do whatever you do. And then if you're doing it from a flesh standpoint, from a what makes me feel good or what's the path of least resistance, that usually causes more turmoil in your life. You're having more problems. But like for me, I find, okay, you know, there's, you know, something faith-based and like business. And I go, you know what? For me, you know, I could easily go, well, this person, you know, they did something off. And so they needed the money back. And I'm the first person to go and, you know, because they did something crazy in life. So like, I can't finish the coaching stuff. Can I get my money back? And it'd be something where I'm like, no, the contract says this and it's structured. But then my God heart goes, you know what, Ann? At the end of the day, like it's going to be okay for you. Like you're financially okay. This person has a reason. They may not contractually be obligated to get their money back, but you know, in your heart of hearts, like it's the right thing to do. And I'll do that sometimes, right? It's something where when you operate outside of your yes or no, when you feel the tug of something that doesn't fall in line with what you want to do, but you know, it's what you should do. I think you live life cleaner, man. I believe that people's, especially business, your business lives and dies in the dark. The conversations that are had about you when you're not present.
Yep.
That's how your business lives and dies, is the conversation. For example, I just got off the call before this one with a speech I just booked for $25,000. And that speech came because of the way that I interacted behind the scenes with another client who then, when this person reached out, says, hey, do you know any speakers? They had a roster of 30 speakers at the event, and I was the name that got called. He's like, this is a great guy to work with. He operates smooth. He did a great job on stage. So I got the call. Now, that business grew in the dark, but if he'd have been like, hey, who do you know? Like, oh, man, don't mess that guy trucks. He's late for calls. He didn't show up on time. It dies, and I would never have known it. And so I believe that the higher power, my faith, is what allows me to walk in a specific line that keeps me in line with integrity and what God would do in certain ways. And so I make choices that don't feel comfortable, but are the right choice to make. And it does pay off, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. That was beautifully said. Now, I do want to put you through the rapid fire round real quick, Anthony, and then we'll wrap this up. This is essentially where I ask you random questions and you answer honestly, first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Favorite movie? Go.
Avatar.
Oh, I love that movie. Favorite book?
And Identity Shift by Anthony Trucks.
I love it. Favorite food?
Hawaiian Time. It's a place up in Eugene, Oregon. It's Hawaiian, like chicken, rice, and like this interesting like macaroni, but it's Hawaiian Time.
Sounds good. Favorite workout?
I like to lift weights, man. I like to get under the weights and get my hands dirty a little bit, get some calluses built up.
Yep. Best business advice?
Business is personal. Yeah, everything's personal there, man.
Mm. Yeah. What's your spirit animal?
What is my, I don't even know, bro. Spirit animal?
First thing that came to mind.
A manta ray.
A manta ray.
First off, never manta rays are big. Most people don't realize those things are like the size of a car. They're large, right? You're talking about the little
they're
ones
huge.
You see at the beach. They're humongous, right? So first off. Secondly, they do their own thing, man. Yeah. Like I'm a guy that I'm a majestic looking. I chill. Like if you think about it, they tuck under the sand, they chill. They don't bother anybody. They do their thing. Don't bother me. But if you step on one of those things, like Steve Irwin found out, that boy will, he'll kick back at you. So I'm kind of the same way, man. I do my thing. I'm big. I'm majestic. Yep. I roll out and I stay chill. But if you bother me, you step on me the wrong way, I do have the ability to defend myself.
If you've never identified your spirit animal and you just came up with that off the cuff, that is impressive.
I just thought about it. I think in the past, I don't know if it was a spirit animal. Someone's asked, what kind of animal would you be? I was like, I'd be a manta ray. That was years ago. So it just kind of came back.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. All right. Three things you're most grateful for.
My wife, my life, my health.
Mm. And if you had a billboard for the world to see, what would that billboard read? This is your last piece of content ever created.
Makeshift happen. That's it. Makeshift happen, dog. That's what it would be.
Love it, man. You crushed that rapid fire round, Anthony. And man, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, brother, for sharing your love, your light, your wisdom with myself and the Happy Hustlers, and just for showing up as the unapologetic, you know, human that you are, the manta ray that you are, just, you know, shining bright in the light, but doing the dark work. It's a powerful gift that you're giving the world. And I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You too.
Yeah. And any final words before I ask you the last question? Anything you want to say to the Happy Hustlers? And go ahead and mention the best place for them to connect with you again.
Yeah. Best place, man. If you go to textanthony.com and when you go up there, you can put in, if you want to listen to the podcast, daily podcast, go to SSD, just type that in, or you type in coaching, send them off. And then it goes a little process to get through to us. I usually respond. That's me in the background, by the way. Outside of that, man, what would be a final message? I think at the end of the day, if something in this is resonated, go take the action on it, right? Action ends suffering. You don't have to go and take over the world today, but if something I said had this little thing, try to find a way to take an action on it by writing it into your calendar. Put it in. I'm going to do this tomorrow at 2:00. Don't just say I'm going to do it tomorrow. Put it in, do the action, and then do it again and do it again. And little by little, that thing that was hard to do in the beginning eventually becomes hard not to do. And that's a magic place to be.
Yeah. Ooh, love that. Textanthony.com, the word coaching. And, you know, Anthony, this has been fantastic. I do want to ask you the last question, which is, what does happy hustling mean to you?
Happy hustling, man. I think it's doing work that fulfills you, right? It's work that because we all got to work, man. I think it's part of it. We enjoy being expressive. I do doing work, but it's work that fills you up as you pour out.
Mic drop. Anthony Trucks, y'all. Thanks for watching and listening. We are out. Peace and love. Real quick, guys, I just want to let you know that my book, The Happy Hustle, 10 Alignments to Avoid Burnout and Achieve Blissful Balance, is still available for free, meaning you can actually get the hard copy of my book sent right to your door for basically free. All you got to do is just help out with shipping and handling, and we send it right to you. And you can get that at thehappyhustlebook.com. And inside this book, we share with you the soul mapping framework, the selfless service, optimized health, unplugged digitally, loving relationship, mindful spirituality, abundance financially, personal development, passionate hobbies, impactful work, and nature connection. All of these 10 different alignments are featured in this book and how you can happy hustle your dream reality. And I'm telling you, this is some of my best work. It's 150 power-packed pages, and we are actually going to be doing a new book launch via Amazon, and we're going to up the price, so it's not going to be free for much longer. But if you want to get it, you can get it now at thehappyhustlebook.com. Check it out, guys. And once again, I so appreciate you, and I am grateful to be happy hustling on this journey together. Now get out there and happy hustle your dream reality, full of that passion, that purpose, and that positive impact. Peace and love, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.